Hello and welcome to the Soccer Speakeasy. I'm Mike Arace. Thank you for joining us. We're in the studio today with our fine crew beat writer, Brianna McKay, and of course, the striker, Kyle Robertson. We're not quite sure what he does around here, but he shows up for these podcasts usually. Per usual, lots of controls. Patrick Flaherty. Let's get right to it. Just a bit of news yesterday, Brianna. The crew signs a boy by the name of Cole Maroka from Crew 2. He signed a senior contract. What do we know about this prepubescent?
Well, he's only 17 years old, like you just said. He's just like Taha. He went from Academy to Crew 2 to Crew. It's the second player to do it. And I know talking to Nancy, he's been saying he likes having those younger players involved in the mix. And I just recently talked to Bez too, and he said those younger players, they're going to look within before they even
just
look.
On background, she means Taha Abram and Tim Bezbachenko.
Yeah, sorry. I talk like a gnome. Yeah. Exactly. No, but he was saying that they're going to look within, even maybe before going to look for outside assets. And especially when they have starting a Kafa Cup and everything, it's going to be a lot of games.
Right. I think you're finally seeing the fruits of the labor of having the academy, and you're also having the, you know, crew too. And now you have the first team. You have that, you know, three different ways that you can be a part of it. And before, you know, they didn't have that and they really struggled, you know, and I've said it too, you know, with the homegrowns. I think he's the 22nd, but we're now seeing him kind of more frequently, and hopefully with Taha and you know, some other people, more guys that are playing with the U.S. national team too.
Well, the academy system was destroyed by the previous owner. He did it consciously because it was part of his plan to destroy the market. Remember that television contract?
I don't even remember that.
Oh, God. That's, but anyway, those are two of many bomb buttons he tried to push on Columbus. And so full marks to Tim Bezbachenko and his staff for rebuilding and rebuilding well in such a short span of time.
And he went through the process pretty quickly, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was 2 years before I think they signed him. And I'd love to get somebody on from the crew to talk about how they bring in some of these guys, you know, into the academy and how that all starts. But, yeah, to get all the way through, you know, academy crew two, and then up to the first team contract in 2 years is pretty impressive.
Well, you can line up that guest, Kyle.
you know all the people.
First item, game one, the crew won 1-0 at home over Atlanta and on Christmas in the new crew stadium.
Well, snow.
It was the first 1-0 victory in the Wilfred Nancy area. He's not known for 1-0 victories. That's not the way they play. Game two, Saturday at Minnesota. They gave up a goal in the final seconds of the second half stoppage time for a 1-1 draw. That was one of those cringeworthy ones that were reminiscent of, actually, last year.
Yeah. Just stay in the goal. Stay in the goal.
Okay. And next up at Houston tonight, and again, today is Wednesday, the 6th of March, tonight at 8 on FS2, I believe, Brianna. Is that correct?
Yes.
The crew will be at Houston to play the Dynamo in the first leg of a CONCACAF Champions Cup series. It's a two-legged aggregate goal series. Leg two is here on Tuesday. It's the round of 16. And then Saturday, home against Chicago on Star Wars night. I don't know what that is. Hedger will love that. And that's here, Star Wars night, the Chicago's visit. Question number one, Brianna. Christian Ramirez started second half in mini in place of Alex Matan, and that was planned. What's going on with Matan there? He took a knock against Atlanta. Is he 100%? Do we know anything?
Well, Matan, even before, and when I was in Santa Barbara for training camp, I noticed that he was on the side training on his own. I asked Nancy about it. He said there was a quad issue that he's feeling better. So I think he's just slowly coming back, especially with such a heavy load that they're expected. I think they're at a point right now in the season. They can slowly bring him back, and they do have a diverse group of forwards who can step in for him, like Ramirez, like Jason Russell Rowe did on the first game. Yeah.
And you never know where Zawatsky's gonna.
Yeah.
He told. I think he said he's after the Atlanta game, he's officially played every position on the back line.
Item number two, the Crew, who led the league in goals and assists last year and proved that relentless attack can win a championship, which is quite a feat, actually. They've scored two goals in two games, both by Cucho Hernandez. Is this a cause for concern, Kyle?
No, I mean, if you watch especially the second game, I mean, Cucho could have had two goals off headers. I mean, the first one, I think he hit it right back to the St. Clair and it went off his leg. And then the second one, another awesome cross. Like, again, he wide open goal and hit it right, you know, right to, you know, the goalie. And then what I think the first game, Russell Rowe hit a shot off the post and Rossi had another chance. So, again, I mean, I'd be worried if they didn't have those chances. You know, it's earlier in the season. I don't know what their XG is, but they're having quality chances. It's just not going in, you know, like it did towards the end of the season where they were scoring goals upon goals of goals.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I didn't see game one. I had a family obligation, but I went back and looked at the highlights at night, and it's like, you know, what I'd heard was Atlanta was the better team in the second half, yeah. Or it tilted a little bit that way anyway. But you watch the highlights, and it's just shots ripping, yeah, at the Atlanta goal, either off the iron or just wide, or yeah, a great save or whatever. Anyway, the late game slip in Minnesota, what did Wolf – that was like a horrible flashback. What did the coach and the team say about that, Brianna?
First, I was all ready to go, and I was literally covering that game from the airport because I was going to Iowa for Ohio State women's basketball, and of course that happens, everything that just causes craziness. But when asked about it, he just said the last three minutes got away from the team, Nancy, and I know that they feel like it was just those last 3 minutes, they didn't perform the way they should have.
The last 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was really extraordinary.
Just stay in the goal. Just stay in the goal. Again.
Popfather still thinks they won that game.
Yeah.
All right. Max Arfston got the rare start Saturday. He was at right wing back for Mo Farsi. Mm-hmm. How is Farsi?
Farsi's day to day. I know he got his ankle stepped on in the Atlanta game, and he's just nothing's broken or anything. That's been confirmed. It's just pain management and taking it day by day. And again, like Monton, it's like you're at this point of the season where there's no need to rush, yep, players back because you're going to need them later in the season.
But Max had a great in that game to Yao Yeboah, that cross, yeah, cross from the right, mm-hmm, side to the left side, and then the crazy touch to set up Cucho for the goal. So
he definitely looked a lot, yeah, better in the second game, yeah, than he did in the first game.
So you had, just to go over the starting 11 from Saturday, we can speculate going forward, but with Schulte in net, and Kyle said he should have stayed in net there for the last goal.
He did something similar during the first game, like where it was a weird bounce or whatever, and he stayed in the goal, and I think he blocked a shot or went off the post or whatever, but then this time he left, and yeah, they scored.
Back line, left to right, Amundsen, Camacho, and Morera, I think it was. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then, of course, Morris and Nagby in the middle. The wing backs, Yeboah on the left, Arfston on the right, Rossi and Matan, and Cucho up top. Given the congestion of games heading forward, Brianna, they'll have two games in 8 days beginning tonight. And
three games.
Three and 11, right?
No, three and eight days.
That's right. Three and 8 days and four and 11. Mm-hmm. So good catch by you. That's why she's the best beat writer in the business, folks. Do we know what the rotation's going to look like as they go through this churn?
There hasn't been clear confirmation on what the rotation will be. I think we'll definitely see a rotation, a mix with this many games. I don't think we're going to see the same starting lineup. I know Taha Haborn, like we mentioned earlier, he hasn't suited up yet. And there's a possibility he can suit up beyond the bench. I think you have Derek.
Is that just a training issue? I mean, that fitness issue? Or
I don't know if that it's just they have too many people to be on the bench right now. I know Nicholas Hagen, their goalkeeper, too, hasn't been on the bench either the last two games.
Huh. So, I mean, we'll see what he comes up with. And how are they approaching CONCACAF Champions League?
I think they're very much saying like it's one game at a time. I know there's a lot of players excited about it because it's like, I know Steve Marrera, we were talking and he told me it's his first time participating in it. But I think it's going to be a little, it's going to be a little different with how many games they have in the span. And it's just going to see how they rotate and handle, especially fitness has been something they've been talking about too, because they're not where they need to be right now. That's, they can't play a full night. Their fitness isn't full 90 game yet. So I wonder how they're going to react to this many games.
And it's interesting. They were the fittest team in the league by the end of last year. That was clear in Cincinnati when Cincinnati just ran out of gas and the crew just put the pedal down. In the semifinal match there in Porkopolis. What's your sense of the team right now? I know that's a very general question, but you can take it anywhere you want. It's so early in the season. They're obviously not happy with, the final moments of the Minnesota game, but they've obviously played very well and with possession through the first two games, although they don't have the goals to show for further efforts. What is the general tenor of the team?
I think right now it's figuring out what's going to be different from last season. You're not going to have the success isn't going to be 100% there just because you won the championship. So I think it's right now seeing what's going to be different. And like you said, 2 one-goal games, that's not the crew that people are used to from last season. And Nancy was saying he was happy with how the defense performed, and especially the first game, and even possession. Look at the possession at in the Minnesota game. It was even. I don't know the last time I saw it was basically 53-47. Like, that's again something that we didn't see from the crew last season.
That was a banged up Minnesota team that went deep on the bench too.
Yeah, but the Minnesota came out, pressing really high in the first half. I mean, the crew had troubles with that, and I think maybe that's why Ramirez kind of came in the second half and they kind of switched it up a little bit and kind of was using more kind of like long balls to kind of help break up the press. But yeah, I thought Minnesota, I mean, kind of threw crew kind of a curveball and kind of kept that press for the first half, but they kind of figured it out.
Yeah, there was like a 5-minute stretch. They were just in the right corner. Yeah. It felt like they could not get past that press, it felt like, in the first half.
And at times late in the game.
Yeah.
Brianna, you reported on some all-star details earlier this week as they come out. This year's MLS Midsummer Non-Classic is, of course, in Columbus on July the 24th. What's the latest?
I know it's been confirmed that it's the same format as it has been the last few years. It's MLS All-Stars versus Lima MX. So
I don't like that.
Well, because you don't get all the All-Stars, right?
Because they've done this, right? Right. It's like, I don't know. It just seems like these are our new best friends because we're making a lot of money together with League's Cup.
Yeah, you got the League's Cup. So why?
Let's just...
Why don't you have a League's Cup All-Star game?
Or why don't you play it at Azteca, at this point? I don't like the format. And what other details? I know there was some stuff about the skills competition.
Yeah, they're going to have this, again, going to be against the two leagues. Yeah, I think it's interesting, too, because every other league in professional league in America, you see it's like East versus West or players picking each other. This is the only league doing it like that. And I don't know, like, if they would ever go back to like players versus each other.
It's whatever Apple tells them to do, I imagine. Right, Kyle?
I think they write the checks, right?
I think the biggest draw for Columbus is that Nancy, he's going to be the coach, and he's probably going to, I'm assuming, just based off my opinion, is that he's probably going to have pick a few crew players to be on that all-star lineup. So there should be Columbus representation within the game.
But you can't play all whatever. I mean, you're playing one. And some guys will be named all-stars, but not on the roster, right? I think that's
the commissioner gets 2 picks, and then it's 12 picked by Nancy, and then 12 picked by the fans.
And then the Blackhawks win the lottery.
Of course.
And the schedule isn't congested enough, Brianna, so they're adding games now. There was an announcement that Crew's not involved in it, but Manchester City is playing Chelsea at Ohio Stadium at some point later this year. But the Crew jumped on the EPL bandwagon there, and they got a friendly against Aston Villa.
Yes, July 27th. They'll be coming to Lower.com Field. I guess they had some space. No U.S. Open Cup for the Crew.
Yeah, and now that was just... There's some teams that are...
Yeah, there's some.
So it's determined the way it usually... Like, the way it was determined is Supporters Shield, where they finished, the nine teams that were selected. But if you're in the Champions Cup, CONCACAF Champions Cup, you cannot... You were ineligible. Yeah, you were ineligible for the U.S. Open Cup. And in addition, their associate teams, like next pro teams, also were not eligible to be selected for the U.S. Open Cup.
Well, yes, this is all a mediated outcome from what was a little war between MLS and U.S. soccer over the U.S. Open Cup. And, you know, it's the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. It was the first championship that Columbus won in their history, 2002.
Here in town too.
That's right. Yeah, at the old Erector set. And Kyle, how do you feel about this relationship and how it's?
I mean,
MLS playing Big Brother now. Yeah.
I think MLS thinks it's too big for it now, and you know they have the infrastructure of the teams. You know, obviously the Crew too, and then you know the academy teams. But you know, again, there's a million things now you can join and do, you know, throughout the season. Mm-hmm. I think this has just gotten weaker and weaker and weaker. And it's just, you know, it's not important to them and to MLS teams anymore.
Is it in the best interest of soccer? Because MLS, as big as it thinks it is.
I mean, I still think it's good.
It's just the upper crust of the game in this country. Yeah. And what it does is it denigrates all the lower levels because, you know.
Right, but what happens in Europe? I mean, some of these teams play in all those other championship twos, and they're not playing their key guys. I mean, the Man City gets beat in the fourth round by some fifth-level team or, you know, Man United. Same thing. I mean, they don't play their guys.
There's still magic to that. I mean, look, when Aston Villa gets here, we'll see what the lineups look like for both sides. I mean, that's just a money grab. Here you're trampling on a tradition that's more than 100 years old.
But that tradition doesn't matter now.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter to them.
That's sad because it removes some of the soul from the American game. Right. And that's just saying, like, let's cut the press box in half to make a party suite. I mean, there's something that's getting lost in this translation here.
Do you think Apple basically said, no, let's not do it?
Apple could say anything they want for $250 million.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, are people going to watch on, you know, I know they watch the finals, right? This year, I mean, people. It's tuned in, but are you going to tune into the third round game? You know,
it's
Crew versus.
But is it any different in the Champions Cup? Is the Champions Cup like Wednesday night too? So it's like how many people are viewing it and coming and viewing that?
Right.
To me, this U.S. Open Cup war, if you will, this little battle, this power struggle, this MLS flexing its muscles and asserting its newfound hegemony, it's somewhat akin to what Rob Manfred did with the minor leagues a couple of years ago. And that is, he said basically, well, one of the things that happened with it was we're contracting the minor leagues. So all these places in these small towns that have had minor league teams at lower levels for years, be they short season rookie or in Appalachian League or whatever, they're saying, no, you're not going to have minor league baseball anymore. And I don't know if that serves you well in the long run, because for generations, you've had kids going to those parks to see baseball.
Right.
For some in modern times, it might have been their first introduction to the game. And now you're saying you don't care about them. And I don't think that's ever a good thing. And this MLS power move with the U.S. Open Cup strikes me in a similar way.
Yeah, I mean, it's the... Again, when the Crew won it, when did they win the first ever?
2002.
There was no Leagues Cup. There was no, you know, all these other competitions, and there wasn't the schedule that it is now. I mean, there's just more things now right. that are
I get that, that. That they say I get is important. That. I just don't like what it's not healthy for soccer writ large. That's right. all. That's all I'm saying. And so if that's the case, and it is, then I don't know how
right.
healthy it is long term. You know,
I mean, I do think it's good for the youth and the younger people who are getting the opportunities to play in competition and tournament style like that. I mean, a lot of these academy kids aren't going to go to college and make that, you know, the soccer run. And, you know, I mean,
yeah, but you get to tier three and tier two as a player. And right. this is one thing that you look forward to.
Right.
I mean, it's like, yeah, all right, right. I guess that's enough about that. That's about it here. I think we should stop talking, especially me at this point. Thanks for joining us. Please, I urge you to go to dispatch.com and check out all of Brianna's wonderful work. And for Brianna McKay and Kyle Robertson and the podfather, Patrick Flaherty, our producer, I'm Mike Hayrace. Thank you very much. We'll see you again soon. And Patrick, kick us out of here.